Good to see you all here today. The weather day is very sweet for the evening. But I've got to tell you what the Bible says. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. One God. No other God. Forget the philosophies. In the beginning, God. He created the heavens and the earth. And what does the Bible say? That men might know that his name, who is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. His name, who is called Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. And never forget, just because you see displays of wickedness and displays of evil, God allows things so people's eyes can be opened. But he is the God of all the earth. And he is a God who never changes. He is a God who loves every one of us. He is a God who paid the greatest price that anybody could ever pay, so that redemption can come to mankind. And today we're going to look at the scriptures to just cover some of the things which Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us. You see, the Bible, at its very core, tells us that God is the creator of all things. And the Bible also, at its core, tells us that he is holy. It says, thus says Lord, the high and lofty one, I dwell in a holy place. He is holy, but we are not. We are not holy, because we have been tainted with sin. And then your condition was sin. You cannot come into the presence of a holy God. So many people, they keep saying, so why God, why does God not do this or God do that? You cannot come into God's presence and survive without being covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It would be torture unbelievable. It would be pain so excruciating. You could never abide the holiness of God. You have to come God's way and no other way. For the salvation is no other name than in the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. And the Bible is very clear. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's a question. Who can know how desperately wicked your heart is? Individuals can't even go to the depths of the wickedness of their own heart. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if you have somebody who comes along and tells you man is basically good, or his man's heart is basically good, then you have somebody who stands in opposition to the word of God. You have somebody who stands and comes against the living God. And if you believe them and follow them, then you're going to end up being in rebellion against the living God. And there's only one that come for you. So when we come to read the Bible, like all subjects, has its own definitions. The Bible uses lots of words. And a lot of the words that's in the Bible, we don't use very much today. The Bible talks about redemption. It talks about propitiation. It talks about remission of sins. It talks about expiation. It talks about imputation, how your sins are charged against Jesus and you receive the righteousness of God. It talks about regeneration, the new life that comes. It talks about being adopted into God's family, and finally it tells you what your hope is. You're going to have a glorified body. And so as we come today, I'm just going to go over some of these basic words that we read in the scripture just to make it plain and simple so that you will understand what God has done to pay the price for your sin and for you to get right with God. And the Bible tells us that the way of life is set before us. God says in His Word, I set before you life, and I set before you death. And I give you a good hint, choose life. Many people don't pick the right path. God is saying, I'm giving you advice, choose life. And that life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the Bible talks about salvation. What do you need salvation from? What do you need salvation from? Well, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he's telling them, why did Jesus die? He died to pay the price of your sin, and He died so that you will not face the wrath of God to come upon sin. So when the Bible talks about salvation, it's talking about us being delivered so that we will not find ourselves in that place where the wrath of God will come upon us because of sin. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. So salvation is all about escaping the wrath of God to come. And then the final analysis, Jesus' death on the cross is to pay the penalty of sin and deliver us from this wrath. And so the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And in 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave Himself a ransom for all. So salvation came, originated in the mind of God, the plans of salvation, and the working of how salvation comes about. And often we hear the word about redeem or redemption. And that's used in the Bible in connection with salvation. Now in the natural life, probably the easiest example for people to think about redemption is somebody who takes something valuable and goes to the pawn shop because they're desperate for money. And they have a period of time to come back to pay that money plus interest to redeem what they've given. And so the Bible talks about salvation and then talks about redemption. But here's the thing. What if the price to redeem what has been lost is not great enough? What happens if that price is not the right price? You lose it. You lose everything. You don't get it back. It's lost for good. And the Bible says that redemption is a price paid to redeem something. So there has to be a price to redeem us from our sin and from the wrath of God. And in this case, redemption is a price to buy back. Is to redeem what is lost. And the Bible talks about you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. You can gain the whole world and you still can't save your soul. You can gain all the riches in this world, and it's not going to help you anything when you stand before the Holy God. And so redemption is a payment made to redeem, to buy back. But the word propitiation is the acceptance of that offering. The acceptance of that price. See, God gave His only begotten Son. The price to redeem you and to redeem me and to deal with our sin is the price of the Son of the living God. And that price is so great and so high that nobody is able to meet the price. And so our propitiation is averting God's anger with an offering, and that offering was the Holy Son of God. And it is the innocent taking place of the guilty. And 1 John 4:9 said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins," averting God's anger, averting God's wrath upon us. God gave his Son. So there is redemption, but that redemption needs a sacrifice which is great enough to be effective. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And see, Christianity, God provides the sacrifice that bore the wrath of God. See, when Jesus is crucified on Mount Calvary, the Bible talks about darkness covering the face of the earth, even though it's just midday. But what was all that darkness that was coming upon Jesus? It was the whole of hell coming against him. It was all of our iniquities and sins being laid upon him. It was the wrath of God being poured out upon him on the cross. And he's bearing that punishment and that shame because of his love for you and his love for me. The punishment and shame. And see, when we go even a step further back from that, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened in the garden? He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And the angels had to come to minister to him. Why? Because God has given a revelation to him of what's going to happen on the cross. See, Jesus is not going to the cross ignorantly. He's not going there, not knowing what's going to happen. He has a full revelation of the wrath of God going to be poured upon him. And he's asked, "Are you willing?" And so he goes to the cross. And so Jesus is our source, means of redemption, because God sent him forth to be sin for us. And God takes the initiative to redeem us after the fall of Adam. But notice the thing about propitiation. It's to avert the wrath of God. So in propitiation, it was the life of Jesus had to be perfect. The teaching of Jesus had to be in line with his Father. All the moral perfections had to be there and demonstrated. And it had to be the obedience to the Father in heaven. You see, all of these things, how great they were, but still not enough. And that's why we come on and we start to see it was the shedding of the blood of Jesus, which is God's blood, which is eternal blood, that deals with sin. Romans 3:25 says, "Whom God set forth to be a propitiation, averting God's anger with an offering, through faith in his blood." It is the blood of Jesus that is getting shed. So we're redeemed and we're bought back. Propitiation is the Lamb of God given as an offering to satisfy the wrath of God on sin. And it is made effective by another word called expiation. Expiation, for it is God's blood being shed. It's God's blood being shed. And God's blood is eternal blood. Acts 20:28 tells us that God's blood was shed, which he purchased with his own blood. And expiation talks about purging of sin. It is the blood of Jesus that is coming to purge and to cleanse you from all impurities and all unrighteousness, and to make you clean before a holy God. It is the blood that cleanses. And the Bible tells us it is the taking away of sin is due to what Jesus done on our behalf. The purging of sin is done by the blood of Jesus. The purging purifies. It's not a little bit of water. It purges. What happens in the natural world when you have an evil dictator? He purges everybody around him to make sure he has no opposition, that everything is dealt completely. And what does God do? He purges you, every nook and cranny within you, cleansing you from all sin and unrighteousness. And Hebrews tells us, not only does Jesus purify us, but he purges our conscience, so that we have a clean conscience before a holy God. So in the scriptures, we have blood, and that blood never dries up. That blood never evaporates. That blood was there in the first century. That blood's been there through the centuries. That blood is there today. That blood has been made because it is God's blood and it is eternal blood. For God is eternal. And that's why we sing in old hymns, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is the blood that cleanses. It is the blood that purifies. It is the blood of God. And so God's blood is never disposed of in any kind of fashion. Because God lives forever. Not only the physical components visible to the eye in Calvary disappeared, but God's blood remains forever. But God lives forever. In 1 John 5:20 tells us, we know that the Son of God has come, and he hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ. Eternal life comes through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And his blood still avails for us today. People are all making comments all about the Olympics, making all the comments about all what was going on, the evil, the Satanism, the anti-Christianity. You see, it's the blood of Jesus is the only solution. Yeah. Nothing else will save from sin. Yeah. No matter how many various people get, only the blood of Jesus cleanses. Only the blood. And see, God's blood can be applied not only in earth, but God's blood is applied in heaven. Jesus affected the nature of the universe when he shed his blood on Calvary. When we read Hebrews 9, verses 21 to 26, when you read it in the screen, it describes invisible catalysts that was transacted in the universe. The Bible tells us in the book of Job that even the saints, the angels in heaven, were not guiltless. And Jesus was into heaven itself to cleanse the temple in heaven by his blood. Jesus, in the Old Testament sacrifice, you know, in the Old Testament, you had the sacrifice of all the animals, but that was so in the temple, they could never take away sin. But Jesus' sacrifice was to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is the price that God is paying for us to receive salvation. This is the price that God is paying so that you will not experience his wrath. This is God taking the initiative. This is God providing the solution. And so what do we have? We have redemption. Redemption is to buy back something that's lost. The price that had to be paid. We've got propitiation. That is a payment that satisfied God. And it's accepted by God. That payment was the spotless Lamb of God. But expiation is to clean from sin. By the blood of Jesus. It purifies, it purges, it cleanses you, it cleanses your conscience. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. And all that transaction is effective. because those who trust in Jesus receive immediate, absolute assurance of sins forgiven. They receive in an instant eternal life. Amen. The Spirit of God comes into them, quickens and makes your spirit alive. And the Bible said we become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. We're adopted into God's family. The lifeblood. In Leviticus 17:11 it said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to create an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." God is saying, it is the blood, and I have given you my blood. Not the blood of goats, not the blood of animals, not the blood of human sacrifice. It's the blood of God. He said, I have given that upon the altar for you. There's a great price that's been paid for your redemption. There's great wrath for those who refuse to accept it. Jesus was raised from the dead by the blood. Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, raised from the dead." Jesus' blood opened the graves, and he rose from the dead victorious, with redemption, with the price of sin paid for. He satisfied all the law of unrighteousness. He satisfied the law of God, the righteousness of God. He satisfied all that when he gave his life. He opened heaven. Heaven is open for us now. Heaven is open. A way has been made for us to experience heaven. Even in this life, the door is open and we come into the presence of God by the blood. It is through the blood of Jesus you come into his presence. If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, there's no way that you can come into his presence. It's only covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's only through the blood of Jesus he has the power of death and hell at their complete ending. Only through the blood of Jesus. The Bible says death has lost its sting. Grave, where is your victory? Hell is overcome. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ releases the power of God into your life. The power of the blood of Jesus. And we plead the blood because the blood, as you plead the blood, is able to purify your thoughts. It's able to purify you from all the contamination of this world. It takes thoughts, it takes picture, it takes it all into captivity. Your mind is renewed. We plead the blood because it purifies our thoughts from the contamination of the world. So redemption is to buy back something that's lost. Mm-hmm. But the price has got to be paid that's acceptable. And that price is propitiation, is a payment of the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But for it to be made effective, you've got to have expiation, which is the applying of the blood of Jesus to your life. To clean you from sin, to clean you from unrighteousness, to clean you from all the contamination of this world. And best of all, it is effective. It is effective. Once we come to Jesus, we receive redemption from our sins. We receive forgiveness of sins. The power of the blood of Jesus transforms us.
Amen.
It transforms us. And then you're called into a new life. You're regenerated. Your sins have been imputed to Jesus Christ. You have a new life through Christ. And you're called to live for Him. and he gives you power to live forever. So we are in this period of time where wickedness or laziness up ahead. Satan no longer hides himself. But in the midst of such conflict, you know, God always arises. And you've got to be on the right side. And you've got to be in the side of victory where your sins are dealt with. You've got to be in the side where you know the calling of God in your life. You've got to be in the side where the destiny of God is being revealed to you so that you can walk in that destiny and that calling. Because these are not days to ignore what is going on. Because if you ignore what is happening, then you're going to fall by the wayside. But these are days of great evil. And God, in the midst, the great thing about the scriptures is, God's ways are not our ways. God allows a lot of things to happen before he moves. God allows things to happen to see how desperate we become. So everything has been put in place for our life in Jesus Christ. No stone has been left unturned. But now he says, what will you do with Jesus? What commitment will you give to the cross of Jesus Christ? Where is your future going to lie? Where is your ambitions? Where do you set your sights on? What is important to you? See, this life is very brief. Many places in scriptures talk about the brevity of this life. Don't ever ignore Jesus. Don't ever turn your eyes away from him. But keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the cross. And let the life of God work in you and through you. And let the Holy Spirit lead you into his destiny and calling that he has for you. Everything has been done so there is no longer any hindrance to any one of you to enter into the full purposes of God. Every obstacle has been dealt with. The door is open, sins are forgiven, and the Bible says he gives us power to become the sons and daughters of the living God. So let's arise, let's take our place in these days to proclaim to all men that he whose name is Jehovah is the most high over all the earth. He is the most high over all the earth. No other gods, not a person, nothing else. Never be deceived with what you see around you, because God's ways are much higher. Look at history, he always wins.
Amen.
So Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand today upon the word of our God, upon the sacrifice made by Jesus, so that we might be brought into your kingdom for such a time as this. That we might be in your kingdom, those who have been washed and cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus. Those in your kingdom who have power and authority as sons and daughters of the living God to do your bidding and calling in these days. And Father, to walk in the destiny that you have for us, that the name of Jesus will be lifted up and exalted high wherever we go. For we declare the goodness of our God and the grace and love of our God abounds, and nothing can withhold it. So we stand proclaiming your greatness today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.